يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة فسعوا إلى ذكر الله وذروا البيع ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome back to our final installment in the commentary, the exegesis of Surah Al-Jumu'ah, chapter number 62 of the Noble Quran. And in today's discussion, which will be our final concluding discussion on this particular chapter of the Quran, we want to look at the last two verses and what Allah wants us to know about the Friday prayers and our responsibility to the act of worship on Friday, to the sermons, to the gathering, and generally what the outlook of a believer should be if he or she has been given the ability to attend to the Friday prayers. Before we go into the actual commentary, let us listen to verse number 10 of Surah Al-Jumu'ah.
فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ.
And when the prayer is finished, disperse through the land and seek God's grace, and remember God greatly so that you may be felicitous. This verse of Surah Al-Jumu'ah gives us three important commandments for the believers that we need to keep in mind when we attend the Friday prayers. The first is that we as believers don't hold our holy day as being sacred in the sense of other religions in which we are prohibited from working, from earning our livelihood, from shopping, from meeting family and friends, and in taking, generally speaking, in the bounties that Allah has placed for us in this earth. And therefore we see that what Allah mentions in this chapter, that when the prayer has been concluded, when the prayers are finished, then He says, disperse after the prayers and go around the land. So we see again that Friday is not a Sabbath, so to speak, in that we are not allowed to work. Actually, we are told that if you have the ability, if you want to, by all means, go and earn the blessings of Allah, enjoy the benefits of Allah, go to work, go back to school, have your job, have your career, but to always remember to focus upon Allah in those set times in which we have been obligated to engage in the remembrance of Allah at the formal level. Because obviously we tend to try to remember Allah even in unofficial times of the day, so to speak. So not during the five daily prayers. But obviously on the Friday, and when all the criteria are met for the Friday prayers, we do our best to attend the Friday congregational prayer service. The second point is that we should seek the grace of Allah, seek the grace of God on the day of Friday. So again, there is no harm to go back to work, to go to school. If we have our business, to go back to the business. Seeking the grace of God can take many forms, many different explanations are given for this particular wording which Allah uses, but we understand that anything which God gives us as human beings on earth, it is a fadl or a grace of God, and we are permitted as believers on Friday to go and seek these divine blessings of Allah, which He has kept in store for all of those believing, faithful servants. And then the last portion of this verse tells us that we need to remember Allah frequently. وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, that we may be felicitous or successful in our lives. And this is a point that all of us have to keep in mind, that God is not and should not be relegated to the masjid, to the mosque, to the religious center. That we have to be in a constant, active state of remembering Allah every day of our lives, every minute of the day. Now this doesn't mean that I take out my prayer beads and I recite Allahu Akbar or Subhanallah or Alhamdulillah, 100 or 1,000 or 10,000 times. Those are all well and good. But to actively remember Allah, to do the frequent and much remembrance of Allah also means that when I am put to the test, if I'm at work and I have an opportunity to shortchange a customer or shortchange my employer, By selling less or working less time and claiming more, then I have the active remembrance of Allah and I keep away from those things. active remembrance of Allah means if I have the ability to cheat on an examination in school, I remember that Allah is ever witness, that God is ever witness over all of my actions, over my speech, over my words, over my thoughts. And so I would keep away from those negative actions. So here, when we look at the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah, let us not relegate it only to the prayers or the recitation of a name of Allah a certain number of times in a pattern or in a form, but rather understand that the dhikr of Allah, it means to keep Allah in the forefront of our minds 24/7, so that everything that we do, we filter it with the lens of Allah being ever present over us. And when we do that, then we will see that we are able to hopefully keep away from the sins, from the acts of transgression against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what He has given to us from the Messenger of Allah and from the infallibles, from the family of the Prophet, the Ahlul Bayt. May God's peace and blessings be upon all of them. In verse number 11, which is the concluding verse of Surah Al-Jumu'ah and the conclusion of our discussion, Allah gives a very interesting historical point to us and shows us what we should not be doing as believers. And he says the following. Let us first listen to the Arabic, followed by the translation, and then go into a bit of the history behind why this portion of the verse was revealed to Rasulullah.
وَإِذَا رَأَوْا تِجَارَةً أَوْ لَهْوًا فَضُّوا إِلَيْهَا وَتَرَكُوكَ قَائِمًا قُلْ مَا عِندَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ اللَّهْوِ وَمِنَ التِّجَارَةِ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ.
Yet whenever they come across some business or some entertainment, they scramble towards it and leave you standing. Say, what is with God is better than entertainment and business, and God is the best of providers. As we mentioned previously in one of our discussions, that the Friday prayers began with the migration to Medina from the city of Mecca, and that when the Prophet of Allah entered into Medina and he established the first masjid, he also established this act of the Friday congregational prayers with the sermons and the prayers and everything that we have today. But the historical books tell us, and the commentaries of this verse tell us, that there was a time in the city of Medina when the Friday prayers were going on, that the neighboring tribes and people who were coming from other cities, who may have not been Muslims perhaps, that they were coming into town selling, you know, goods and things that they had imported from other countries. And as custom would have it, that they used to use jingles, songs, as we see today, even in the media, to try to sell something, they have to have a song, a commercial, some music to accompany their advertising. So a group of traders were coming into Medina on a Friday. The Messenger of Allah is standing in the masjid delivering a sermon to maybe hundreds or thousands of his companions. And all of a sudden, they hear this music and they hear the rustling of individuals and animals coming into the city of Medina. And these people who were in the mosque with the Prophet performing the Friday prayers, listening to the sermon, they hear all of this rustling outside and they realize that the trade caravan has arrived. So rather than stay with the Messenger of Allah and listen to his sermon and engage in the Friday prayer and then go towards what is being sold, the books of history tell us that a number of these companions around the Messenger of Allah, that they left the masjid. They left the Messenger of Allah standing alone and they went to see what was on sale, what was in the market. And so Allah tells us in this verse that there are people who, when this business and commerce and material world comes to them, they leave the Messenger of Allah standing alone in the masjid. But then Allah reminds us that what is with Allah is much better than all of this business and trade and commerce, but that we need to put our priorities in order. And so we see that when it comes to business and pleasure, that when you add these two together, we end up with a neglect of Allah. We end up in the state of ghafla, or heedlessness, or forgetfulness of our Creator. And so as believers, we have to be aware that not only on Friday, not only that one day of the week, but every day of our lives, we cannot let business, commerce, our work, our school, our preoccupation, our pleasure, our entertainment, we can't let any of this distract us from the remembrance of Allah, because as Allah says, if we do, we are going to be of the losers. And so we have to appreciate the fact that we need to give importance to our acts of worship. Yes, the prayers have a window of an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours in which we can perform them. But if we're going to miss our prayers because we're watching a movie, we're going to miss our prayers because we're in front of the television, we're going to miss our prayers because there's a game, a sports match on TV, or we're playing a game on our game console, or we're doing anything which is worldly related. If we're doing anything which is related to the world and we are forgetting Allah, we are not giving importance to the time of the prayers, then what better are we than these individuals who left the Messenger of Allah standing alone in the masjid with a group of companions around him, and they all left, the others all left to shop, to spend money. So we have to be careful as believers that in this 21st century, in this day and age where there are so many ways for us to be distracted, that we give the importance to our worship as Allah would want us to give the importance to the acts of daily worship. And if we do so, then we will be of those who are righteous, who are successful, who have been prosperous in this world and obviously in the world to come. In this light, let us look at two traditions. One coming from the noble messenger, the Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family. And the second from the fifth successor of the Prophet, that is Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Baqir, may God's peace and blessings be upon him. In the first tradition from the Prophet, we read the following. Indeed Allah, the noble and grand, has obligated upon you the Friday prayers. So then, whosoever willfully neglects them, either during my lifetime or after my death, due to considering them trivial or by denying them, Allah will make that person face distress and will not place any blessings in his work and will not accept his prayers and will not accept his charity and will not accept his pilgrimage and will not accept his fasting and will not accept his acts of goodness until he repents. It's a very powerful statement from the Messenger of Allah, but we see that he is not playing around in terms of the obligations, that when it comes to the religious obligations such as the Friday prayers, it's serious business. And if we are missing it, if we are skipping it without a valid reason, just because we are at work and we want to continue making money, we don't want to leave our comforts, for whatever reason we don't want to go, we are going to have to answer to the Messenger of Allah and to Allah ultimately for why we have neglected such an obligation within our religion. The second tradition from the fifth Imam states the following about the Friday prayers, and he says, the Friday prayers are an obligation, and gathering for them with the infallible Imam is an obligation. Therefore, the man who, without a valid excuse, abandons them for 3 Fridays, has in actuality abandoned 3 obligations. And no one abandons 3 obligations without a valid reason, except a hypocrite. So we appreciate that if one abandons the Friday prayers, which are led by the infallible Imam, which is what we mean by this discussion, that there is a severe lack of faith, true conviction within that individual. And we make that distinction clear that the Friday prayers, which are led by an infallible, so whether the Prophet or one of the Imams or somebody that they have specifically appointed and chosen to lead the Friday prayers. As followers of Ahlul Bayt, may God's peace and blessings be upon them, our scholars are jurists. They give rulings on the validity of the Friday prayers during the period of the occultation, the ghaiba of our 12th Imam. And we will go over some of the rulings of the Friday prayers, but also encourage the believers to look at the rulings of your respective scholar that you follow in terms of jurisprudential rulings to ensure that you are following the rules according to that interpretation. But as a summary, we see in Islam that we have 3 levels of acts of worship. We have our 5 canonical prayers, which are done in congregation. So the Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, and Isha. These 5 prayers are there that are done every day from the time that we become of maturity until the time that we leave this world. We have at the other end of the spectrum the yearly congregational prayers for the Hajj, at the Hajj pilgrimage, the Salatul Eid as it's referred to, which happen at the first of Shawwal after the month of Ramadan, and also on the 10th of the month of Dhul Hijjah after the pilgrimage has been mostly completed. And in the middle, we have a weekly congregational prayer, which we have been looking at in these last installments, which is the Friday prayers, Salatul Jummah. And so we see the entire gambit of worship in Islam, from a daily act of prayer to a yearly act of prayer to a weekly act of prayer. And that all of these are within the life of the believer and have to be implemented to the best of our ability. What are some of the benefits? Because people might wonder, well, if the prayers are not an obligation on, in that sense, during the period of the occultation for us, well, what is the benefit of attending the Friday prayers? And we see within the hadith, within the traditions, and also from the words of our great scholars, where they emphasize on the importance and the benefits of the Friday prayer service, some of which are as follows. You become aware of your religious teachings. You become acquainted with social, economic, and political affairs. One can develop a cohesion amongst the community members. We can reinvigorate the spirit of religiosity and the spiritual aura of being within a group of believers, and also the ability to work out problems which the believers may be facing in their life. So we see that many of the benefits of the Friday prayers are social. They benefit us in the terms of being a cohesive, united community. When I have the time to go to the Friday prayer, and after the sermon, after the prayers, I can sit and talk to the members who are present, I can see what's happening within their lives. Maybe they've lost a job, maybe they're in health issues, maybe they have some other kind of problems, and maybe as a community we can get together and help that individual or those individuals. So when we are able to meet on that weekly basis, that will give us hopefully an opportunity to at least gather once a week and talk and discuss with one another and see what the issues which all of us are facing and how we can actually resolve them in the best possible way. As we mentioned, that the Imam of the Friday prayer also has criteria, qualifications which he must meet. And our scholars who give us the Islamic rulings on the jurisprudence, they also give us the breakdown of the criteria of the Imam of the Friday prayers. And of these includes the following important traits which he must have. One is that he must be one who is eloquent at speaking. He must also be aware of the time in which he is living and the events of the Muslims around the world. He must know the interests and benefits of the Muslim society, and also must be brave so that he is not scared to speak the truth. He must speak explicitly and not beat around the bush, and rather be decisive in expressing the truth. Also, very important that his actions and his day-to-day life must be such they will resonate with his words. So he has to walk the walk and talk the talk. And he must live a life such that the people remember Allah, remember God, when they see him and they talk to him. There are other criteria from the jurisprudential point of view, being a male, being sane, having other criteria, which we don't want to go into today. But we do want to end this discussion with a brief review of the content of the two sermons, as presented by the grand scholars that we follow within the tradition of Islam. The first sermon is one in which the believer has the ability, the opportunity rather, to get himself or herself acquainted with religious teachings. And so therefore our scholars tell us the following should be a part of the content of the first sermon. Praise of Allah. Prayers upon Prophet Muhammad and his noble family. May God's peace and blessings be upon them all. Advising the people to observe the taqwa of Allah. And this portion must be done in Arabic. But if the rest of the sermon needs to be done in the language of the people because the majority don't understand Arabic, then the speaker must do this portion in the language of the majority. And also the first sermon must conclude with one short chapter of the Quran to be recited. Once the first sermon is complete and the individual delivering the sermon sits down and then he stands up for the second sermon, there are also some obligations which he needs to meet in terms of the content of the second sermon, and these include some of the following. Again, the praise of Allah, the prayers upon Prophet Muhammad and his noble family, may God's peace and blessings be upon them all. Also, he must make supplication for the believing men and women and ask for their forgiveness. He must also advise the people to observe the taqwa of Allah. And all of this again must be done in Arabic, but if the rest of the people, if the people present don't understand Arabic, then it must be done in the language of the people. And also to recite one short chapter of the Quran. And obviously, as an addition, as we have been talking about in our discussions, that to also inform the community of political, social, economic affairs so that they can further understand the responsibility while they are living in this global village. And with that comes the end of our commentary of Suratul Jummah, the very brief and concise, yet hopefully explanatory enough to understand, look at this particular chapter of the Quran. And we ask Allah to be able to give us the ability to understand His words, to implement His words, and to live the life of the Quran every step of our lives. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.